Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Gnar Trees podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book. Speak Up Against Stigma Women, Breaking Mental Health Silence by Christy Towson is a mental health advocacy anthology centered on women who describe experiences that are often hidden, minimized, or treated with shame. The book belongs to the personal narrative and self-advocacy genre, rather than to clinical psychology or step-by-step self-help. Its purpose is to make stigma visible by placing lived accounts of depression, suicidal thoughts, trauma, panic, grief, eating disorders, medication difficulties, workplace harm, and family silence beside one another. The anthology uses testimony as its main method. Each contribution functions less as an expert explanation and more as evidence of how mental illness is carried through ordinary relationships, institutions, and identities. Towson, an author, entrepreneur, and mental health advocate, frames openness as a way to reduce isolation and encourage more honest public conversation. The book is therefore best understood as a collective intervention against silence, especially for readers seeking recognition and solidarity. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, lived testimony as evidence against mental health stigma. The central force of Speak Up Against Stigma is its reliance on first-person accounts rather than expert commentary. This choice matters because stigma often survives through abstraction. Mental illness can be discussed as a category, diagnosis, or social problem, without showing how it affects daily decisions, relationships, work, motherhood, faith, and identity. By gathering women who speak from personal experience, the anthology treats lived testimony as a form of evidence. The stories are not presented as clinical case studies, and that distinction is important. Their authority comes from proximity to pain, recovery, confusion, relapse, and survival. This makes the book especially relevant to readers who have felt that their struggles were dismissed, because they did not fit a neat public image of mental illness. The anthology also challenges the idea that disclosure must be polished or resolved before it is valuable. Many stigma-breaking books emphasize recovery as a completed transformation. This one appears more interested in the act of speaking itself, including the discomfort and vulnerability involved. The result is a framework in which personal narrative becomes a public act, not merely private confession. Secondly, the gendered pressure to remain composed and silent. A major theme in the anthology is the pressure placed on women to manage distress quietly while continuing to perform expected roles. The book highlights experiences connected to family obligations, workplace expectations, motherhood, caregiving, grief, and social judgment. These contexts are significant because women's mental health stigma is rarely only about diagnosis. It is also about the demand to appear capable, calm, nurturing, grateful, and emotionally available, even when internal life is unstable or painful. The anthology shows how silence can become a learned survival strategy. A woman may hide panic in public, continue functioning in a damaging job, minimize trauma in relationships, or avoid discussing medication because disclosure feels socially risky. This gendered dimension gives the book a more specific focus than a general mental health collection. It examines how stigma is reinforced by everyday assumptions about what women should tolerate and how they should behave. The practical insight is that mental health advocacy cannot rely only on encouraging people to speak. It must also question the environments that punish honesty, especially when women are expected to absorb distress without becoming inconvenient to others. Thirdly, a broad map of hidden mental health experiences. The book stands out for the range of experiences it brings into the same conversation. Available descriptions point to accounts involving depression, suicidal thoughts, PTSD, panic attacks, eating disorders, grief, medication challenges, workplace trauma, and family dynamics that encourage silence. This breadth is not simply a matter of variety. It helps readers see that stigma operates across many different mental health realities, including those that may look controlled or invisible from the outside. For example, an eating disorder can be misread as discipline, panic can appear suddenly in an ordinary public place, and grief can return in ways that others may not understand. By placing these forms of distress together, the anthology resists a narrow definition of mental illness. It also avoids treating one kind of suffering as more legitimate than another. The structure encourages comparison without competition. Each narrative contributes to a larger picture of how people conceal, explain, or survive symptoms that others cannot easily see. This makes the book useful for readers who want a more human and less diagnostic understanding of mental health, while still recognizing the seriousness of the conditions discussed. Fourthly, community formation through shared vulnerability. The anthology format creates a sense of community that a single memoir usually cannot provide. Instead of asking readers to identify with one life, Speak Up Against Stigma offers multiple points of recognition. A reader may not share every experience in the book, but the movement from one voice to another can reduce the feeling that mental illness is isolating or exceptional. This is one of the main mechanisms by which the book addresses stigma. Shame often depends on the belief that one is uniquely broken, weak, or unacceptable. A collective format weakens that belief by showing recurring patterns across different lives. The book also models a form of listening. Readers encounter stories without being asked to fix them, diagnose them, or compare them to their own pain. That makes the anthology relevant not only for people with mental health histories, but also for friends, family members, colleagues, and advocates who want to understand what supportive attention can look like. Its community value is therefore twofold. It offers recognition to those who have been silent, and it trains readers to receive vulnerable disclosure with greater seriousness and less judgment. Lastly, awareness and advocacy rather than clinical instruction, Speak Up Against Stigma, should be read with an accurate expectation of its purpose. It is not primarily a therapeutic manual, diagnostic guide, or workbook. Its contribution lies in awareness, validation, and advocacy through personal narrative. That focus gives the book emotional and social value, but it also defines its limits. Readers looking for structured coping tools, treatment models, or detailed clinical explanations may need to pair it with professional resources. The anthology, instead, works at the level of public meaning. It asks what changes when women describe mental illness openly and when listeners stop treating those disclosures as weakness or embarrassment. This distinction is important because stigma is not solved only by individual resilience. It is also sustained by workplaces, families, cultural expectations, and social habits that discourage disclosure. By emphasizing stories, the book makes these surrounding conditions easier to recognize. Its practical application is therefore relational rather than procedural. It can help readers name experiences, initiate conversations, support others more thoughtfully, and understand why silence is not neutral. In this sense, the book is less a treatment resource than a conversation-changing resource. In conclusion, Speak Up Against Stigma is best suited for women who have experienced mental health challenges, readers who have felt judged or isolated because of emotional distress, and people who support someone living with mental illness. It may also be useful for advocates, peer support communities, educators, workplace wellness leaders, and book groups interested in discussing stigma through lived experience rather than theory alone. Its practical benefit is not a set of clinical steps, but a stronger vocabulary for recognition, disclosure, listening, and solidarity. Intellectually, the book invites readers to see stigma as a social pattern that appears in families, workplaces, public spaces, and expectations of womanhood. Compared with many mental health books, it stands out because it does not depend on a single recovery arc or an expert-centered framework. Its multi-voice structure allows different forms of pain and resilience to sit side by side, which makes the problem of stigma feel broader and more concrete. The book is also differentiated by its emphasis on women breaking silence collectively, rather than presenting mental health as a purely private struggle. Readers seeking treatment advice should use it alongside professional guidance. But readers seeking honest testimony and a clearer sense of not being alone will find its strongest value there. If you would like to support Christy Towson, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.